Welcome to Globally Speaking, a podcast dedicated to unlocking global understanding. Join us as we engage with experts and innovators who are reshaping the way we connect with global audiences. Whether seeking to refine your approach, wanting to expand your understanding of AI and its role in transcending global communication barriers, or just curious about the intricacies of global content, this podcast promises to enlighten and inspire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our latest episode of the Globally Speaking podcast. Today, we're unpacking the Translation Technology Insights 2025 report, which provides a comprehensive look at how AI, market dynamics, and technology adoption are completely transforming the localization landscape. So really, this is your chance to get all our study insights into the latest trends and data in the fields of localization, industry transformation, technology, and language and translation. This report explains, among many other things, how new tools like AI and automation are changing the way translation and localization are being done worldwide. And our aim with that report was to help businesses and professionals understand how this changes, how they happen, and how people can adapt and grow accordingly. So whether you're leading a corporate localization team or advising, this episode is for you. Nicole Lenné, Senior Product Manager at AWS, is our guest today, and she will give us all the info we need on that report. Nicole, welcome. Welcome to Globally Speaking. Before we dive right into the data, can you tell us a bit more about your position and your role, the role you played in the research?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a senior product marketing manager for AWS, and I was lucky enough to lead the research initiative. So that really included developing the survey, sourcing the respondents, analyzing the feedback we received, and then ultimately turning those insights into the published report that we have today. So yeah, it was a whirlwind of an experience, but it was really, really interesting, a great project to work on. And yeah, it's really helped me to deepen my understanding into the challenges and, you know, opportunities that are facing our industry. So yeah, really happy to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being there. So tell us, what exactly is the Translation Technology Insights report? Why is it so relevant right now? And what makes it different as well to the latest editions, that we published?
Yeah, so the Translation Technology Insights report is a recurring piece of research. And really, as you kind of touched upon a minute ago, it's designed to better understand the challenges and the pressures the localization industry is facing. But also how technology is, you know, evolving and best placed to help the industry to address those challenges too. So it's been running since 2016. It typically, is redone every couple of years, every 2-3 years. And yeah, like I said, because of that, it means that we can also keep track of how the industry is evolving. So the last edition before this year's was published in 2022, and it was actually completed just a month before the launch of ChatGPT in the November 2022. So that's kind of why we felt that now is the right time to repeat the research. You know, we're 2.5 years on, the industry has hopefully had time to experiment with AI and, you know, try it out in their workflows. So yeah, hence the 2025 report. And one other thing that's worth mentioning, because it will come up a couple of times, you know, as we dive into the data, is we actually keep some of the core questions each time the same. Okay. And because of that, it means that we can track the trends and see how perceptions and opinions and technology usage is changing. And more than that, we actually split the data according to the role the respondents play in the industry. So whether that's, you know, freelance translators, LSPs, or corporate translation teams. And the idea of that is so that we can see the differences, because they've obviously all got different needs and requirements. But this year as well, we've actually split out a fourth buying center, and that's the public sector, the public sector group. Because yeah, naturally, as I said, they all have different requirements, and it didn't make sense to keep them all bundled up. So they're the four market segments that are analyzed throughout the report.
Okay, thank you. Amazing. That gives us a very good overview of what has happened, you know, in the background when it came to thinking about how you were going to present the stats and the results. Let's dive in into some of your findings then for this year. Starting with a big one, budgets. What did you discover about the financial pressures that localization teams are dealing with at the moment?
Yeah, and it's a really great place to start because it kind of underpins a lot of the findings that, you know, we had when we analysed the results. And what we saw around budgets was particularly interesting because while demand for localization remains strong for corporations, as in their internal translation teams continue as they always have to have the same amount of work, if not more, corporate budgets remain flat. So they're still getting all of this work come through, but they have to find ways to do more with the same resource. And that's something that was very clearly acknowledged by corporate respondents themselves. Our data showed that 80% stated they needed to improve their processes in order to meet their challenges, but the budget was the number one blocker for them. 40% said budget was the main reason why they were struggling to evolve their processes. So there's a real tension here. Teams know they need to sort of change to evolve, but they're being asked to do it without additional investment. So it really is driving sort of a search for budget-friendly ways to optimize workflows.
Mm-hmm. And I think you summarized it all with doing more with the same or less resources. Do you have any advice you would give those teams to try and balance that, you know, to balance cost and innovation then?
Yeah, I think there are a few sort of things that immediately spring to mind that, you know, I could potentially recommend. I think, first of all, you know, it's a recurring trend or theme we're hearing these days that you need to think about quality in the context. And what I mean by that is, you know, not every piece of content needs to be perfect. The translations don't always need to be 100% accurate, even though it feels like it goes against the grain. You know, if it's internal or low impact, often good enough might just be fine. Think if you're translating social media posts, for example, you just need the gist. So really it's about aligning your quality expectations with what the business actually needs and, you know, what they plan to do with that content. And then there's also AI and automation. These, you know, have been spoken about for years now, and I still think there are huge opportunities for the industry to do more. You know, AI is enabling us to translate faster and, you know, more coherently in some cases. But at the same time, you need to consider about bringing humans in when the quality demands it. So that really links back to my first point. I guess I'm trying to say it's about being smart with your resources as opposed to throwing everything at every piece of content. And then there are also ways that you can think about, you know, improving the quality of content with AI before humans even get involved. So there's technologies now like machine translation quality estimation. There's a new capability in Trados called Smart Review. And these capabilities really help you to evaluate the quality of the translation at hand. It gives you a score or a mark or, you know, a color code. And based on that, you can identify issues early and you can make decisions around when humans are brought in or not. So, yeah, like I said, it's really about combining the two the best you can. But to bring it back to the report, I think one stat that really stood out to me was that 40% of corporate respondents say that they still review more than half of their AI generated translations. So while, you know, we're talking about using AI more to work faster and smarter, it's clear that we're not really moving towards an AI only future. There's always going to be a role for humans that we can see anyway today. So I think the answer is hybrid, isn't it? It's combining the speed of AI with human oversight for trust and quality. But yeah, I think ultimately everyone is looking for ways to be innovative. And I'd say, you know, don't chase innovation just because it's shiny and new. I'd always recommend that it's strategic and that it's, you know, thought out in the context of what you're trying to achieve. So, you know, the disruption that it's inevitably going to bring with it is worth the hassle.
Yeah. And it's a very interesting point because we've been working in the last month. We've been we have published and we've been working on promoting, obviously, in the social media team. I'm talking about that report, Riding the AI Shockwave report. That was a AWS general report. And it links really nicely with the concept that we have in there, which is called genuine intelligence. And that means really going beyond just using AI for automation. It's about really carefully blending the best of human expertise and also AI capabilities to achieve quality, trust, and efficiency. But yeah, I feel like both reports highlight that this partnership can really be cost effective, but also build reliable and responsible solutions. I have a couple of points I would like to mention. And in case our listeners want to go grab that report, we'll also make it available in the links later. But basically, one of the core reasons that why trust matters so much is that the consumers and businesses are really wary of AI-generated content that would lack potentially transparency or accountability. So to overcome this concept of genuine intelligence relies on several key principles. The first one being transparency. So basically, by clearly communicating, this AI was used to build this content, and this is how we used it to help us build the content, already makes it better in terms of trust. People want to know if it's AI generated. They want to understand how the decisions were made. And that's already a big differentiator. The second one is explainability. So AI tools should really be able to explain where they're getting the information, their outputs from, in easy ways so people can check them and see if they agree with them. And the last one was human involvement. So this human in the loop model ensures, you know, the final view, the expert oversight, especially when it comes to high stake environments like legal, medical, regulated industries. So yeah, by integrating these pillars, businesses can really create this valuable AI human collaboration that respects user expectations when it comes to safety, quality, and ethical use really of AI. Yeah, so I thought I would mention that because it's a very nice link with the report we worked on. And it's clearly something that people are, you know, interested or worried about. In the TTI report, there's also a fascinating contrast. As we've already said, corporate demand for localization remains really strong. Yet at the same time, LSPs are seeing a significant decrease in the number of customers requesting work. Can you give us more insight? What's going on there exactly?
Yeah, and actually, I think this was one of the most striking findings in the report. Wasn't expecting it at all, but I think it makes sense, you know, if we break it down. So the stat for LSPs was that 46% of LSPs have said they're seeing less work coming from their clients. And that's quite a high number when you think about it. In comparison, though, when you look at corporate localization teams, it's a completely different story. They're saying the demand is stable or even growing, as we've said, 74% actually said as much. So clearly the work hasn't disappeared in the industry. Mm-hmm. It's just potentially being handled differently. Mm-hmm. So I think this ties back to, you know, what I was starting to say earlier. With budgets flat, you've got to get creative in how you scale. And from what we're hearing from customers and from what the data's showing, I think, you know, there's a clear shift in how companies are handling their translation needs. an example of something, you know, that we've heard. Our data doesn't necessarily prove it, but it definitely supports this idea that instead of outsourcing everything, corporate translation teams or, you know, corporations are using AI more to handle more of the translation work in-house, you know, trying to get through that high volume, low risk content with tools such as machine translation, instead of outsourcing it to LSPs potentially, like they've done in the past. And what that means then is, you know, LSPs are still required. They're being potentially bought in though to, you know, focus on more of the complex or brand sensitive or, you know, content that needs the cultural nuance that only humans can, you know, add to a project. So I think what we're seeing is really more of a strategic approach to how translation is managed. And I don't think it's all about cutting costs. I think it's really about trying to get more value out of the resources that teams already have in-house.
What do you think LSPs can still bring as added value as their role clearly is evolving today?
Yeah, I really don't believe, as I said, that it's not LSPs aren't needed. It's just I think their role is evolving. And as we've said, they're being brought in for the more high value work where human expertise really makes a difference. So yeah, it's not that AI is replacing them. It's just it's reshaping what being an LSP today really means. Yeah. And in terms of the value that they can add, I think there's loads of different ways that they can still add value. You know, first of all, corporations that want to work more with machine translation and set up those workflows and things like that to handle it in-house, they need someone to actually help them set those up. Unless they've got large teams with the expertise in-house, they're still going to need help from their LSPs to show them best practices, to help them to, you know, literally customize those workflows to best suit them and their businesses. Another potential opportunity for LSPs is to actually, you know, work with their clients to actually potentially train custom AI models and, you know, help train AI on custom data so that the output of the AI is higher quality and more accurate from the start. Also to not just, you know, provide value in terms of technology and processes, but also, you know, they can add value by consulting, by helping with change management and helping companies to adapt and come up with new ideas and bring that innovative approach. So the list goes on, but I'd say they're, you know, three starting points.
And maybe building that trust again, you know, exactly what we were mentioning earlier, LSPs can definitely, you know, have those insights and can help include the human as much as needed for users to be trusting the output. So let's go back to trust a little. We mentioned it earlier. It's a very popular topic, I guess, in general, but certainly in both our reports. Based on your findings, what is the general feelings around trust when it comes to AI and translation? Are people excited, skeptical? Is it somewhere in between? Like we had, you know, I mentioned previously the business part, how business feel about the, you know, about content that is AI generated. Do you have any more insights on this?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's still a bit of a mixed bag when it comes to opinions. I think because AI is still relatively new in the grand scheme of things and the technology is still fast evolving, you know, a lot of people are still experimenting with it. Because of that, I think trust is still relatively low. And there are lots of different types of AI as well. So it really depends, you know, what AI you're using, where you're getting it from, how you've combined it with other resources, how you're implementing it. All of that as well dictates really the quality of the output that you're going to get. So I think it's no surprise really that there's still a bit of hesitation. That adoption is happening. We are seeing it in our data. We're seeing that across the board, all of the different market segments that we were analyzing, are starting to incorporate it into their workflows. So 58% of corporate translation teams are now using MT. And of course, MT, machine translation, is one of the oldest forms of AI. It's natural that that's, you know, the highest stat. Interestingly as well, 29% of corporate translation teams are also already using LLMs in their workflows. And I think that shows just how fast, you know, the industry and localization professionals are having to move and adapt and grapple with the new technology. But yeah, when it comes to concerns, we also dived into that in our survey, in our research as well. And there were three key concerns that came up pretty consistently for all of our market segments again. So whether you're a corporate LSP, a freelance translator, or a translation team in the public sector, accuracy was the number one worry. 69% of our respondents were concerned about accuracy. Second place, translation quality at 64%, and then security at 50%. So yeah, don't think anyone would be very surprised by those three being at the top. But yeah, while there's excitement, I think there's also a healthy dose of skepticism as well.
And I mean, it's interesting to, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like it's so interesting to see as well the evolution. Like I've got, I think, those two views, one from social media and what people are saying, or more, a bit more precisely what freelancers are saying when it comes to AI. And also because I studied translation and I was working as a translator for a long time. I can clearly see the evolution, like when it started, you know, when everything started with ChatGPT and when it all accelerated, people were clearly against it. You know, clearly it also comes from fear, I guess, you know, you have the fear of being replaced. It's natural. But yeah, I obviously don't have like some very precise stats, but I can tell in the comments or in the discussions that are happening in LinkedIn groups or Facebook groups, I can tell that the sentiment is completely changing towards we need to include this into our routine. Otherwise, you know, like we need to be flexible and people are clearly less afraid of it. And obviously by using it and having to face it on a daily basis, it's just being used more and more and implemented, and people are less and less afraid of it, really.
Yeah. And to that point, the report actually also goes on to ask the respondents whether they plan to invest in AI next as part of their sort of continuous evolvement of their tech. And actually 83% say they plan to invest in AI. So yeah, whilst there's skepticism, I think there's also a realization, whether it's reluctant or not, that AI is something that you have to try, you have to get on board with. And for corporates and LSPs, I believe it was, not only are they planning to invest in AI, but it's actually their number one priority to invest in AI technology. Machine translation and LLMs were both in the top three. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a growing acceptance of AI.
Yeah. So maybe it's skepticism, but maybe disguised a little bit, you know, like maybe it's a bit fear, maybe it's a bit of a mix of different feelings. And for example, I'll share some stats as well. 80% of consumers say that AI generated content, including text, images and videos, should be clearly labeled. Labeled. Meanwhile, 62% say that this transparency would actually increase their trust in the brand. And among those who really care about AI, 62% say that they would trust AI more if humans were actively involved in its development and its use as well. So I think this highlights a bit of a broader story here. Trust really hinges not only on technical performances, but also on ethical and transparent AI development and continuous human oversight. So maybe it's about working on that explainability of outputs, really, you know, when it comes to adopting it. Maybe it's about keep everyone understanding how AI is participating in the process, and not AI just doing everything on its own and then, you know, humans getting the final result and having to deal with it. I think while those concerns exist clearly, and it's normal because it's everything's going so quickly, it's frightening, provided this is all implemented with integrity and trustworthiness and respect for cultural nuances and humans, I think everyone's kind of aware that this is this will be part of the future, really, of the translation future. And a very good example for this is MT. Exactly as you said, it has come to being something that everyone uses and understands, and now understands all the benefits it's bringing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as you said, the industry hasn't just, you know, come round to the idea of using machine translation. It's now an integral part of translation workflows. So, I think trust and growth of or usage of this sort of technology has increased as MT has become more capable. You know, everyone appreciates how it can free up time and reduce budgets and help you to translate more content faster, etc. And again, that only grew as well as technology providers helped improve integration, so it was easier to use with existing workflows. So yeah, I think over time a lot of localization professionals learned where MT worked well and where it didn't, and, you know, when they knew they had to review the content after machine translation had taken the first pass, you know, when content was suitable for AI and when it wasn't. I think there's a lot of learnings we can take from AI. And, you know, not least the fact that with AI's evolvement, we actually saw it creating new roles, like post-editing, for example, which didn't really exist before. And I think we're seeing sort of history repeat itself. You know, LLMs or generative AI are now having a similar impact. Again, we're seeing them help free up time and budget, and they're helping people get to market faster and translate more content. And while there is definitely a lot of fear around AI taking jobs, while that's true, and, you know, in some cases it may be happening, you know, while the industry is still grappling with what role AI, you know, can play, I think at the same time we're seeing new roles emerging. So just like machine translation created new opportunities, AI or generative AI is now doing the same. And I think because of it, linguists and localization professionals are actually being able to shift into more strategic roles than potentially they have in the past, you know, considering how to maintain quality or orchestrate AI, or, you know, train AI even. So I think there's definitely some exciting results of
and evolution too.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's also I was reading an article or talking about it with someone, I can't remember now, but basically, like, your fear goes away when you think about this as a translator. I mean, yes, of course, AI helps us translate more words per day. Yes. But then you also have all those new channels and the expectation of users having the same content on TikTok, on LinkedIn, on a web page. So the content explosion, it also goes together with that. We need more content at the same time, and we couldn't be doing it without AI, you know? Like, it's just, we have more capabilities, but we users are also expecting more.
Absolutely. And I think we forget that, don't we? It's not just translation technologies that are evolving. It's everything around them.
So let's go back to a higher level now. What do you think corporates can do to best adapt to AI nowadays and make sure they make the most of it?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest shifts we're seeing with localization is that it's no longer just like an operational function in a business. And, you know, what I mean by that is traditionally it sat more in, you know, like the middle management type area. But with the AI now on the agenda, we're seeing you know, localization technologies and, you know, what are we doing with localization questions coming up at the exec level. And at that stage, at that seniority, you know, they're not just asking, how are you doing the work? How does the translation get done? But they're actually asking why it matters to the business. You know, why are we investing in this? And I think that shift is quite huge, actually. You know, execs are focused on solving business challenges. And naturally, one of those biggest challenges that any exec cares about is how to grow the business, you know, growth. So for localization teams, I think the fact that localization is now seen at such a high level within the business, I think they've got a real opportunity to reposition themselves, not just as a, you know, an internal service provider, you know, helping other teams get their localizations done, but rather as strategic enablers of global expansion. But I think to make that a reality, because it's really easy to say, but to make it actually happen, to position yourselves that way, you need to show your impact. And that's really hard as a localization team or a function if you're only reporting on traditional metrics that the industry has always cared about, like word count or you know, translation turnaround time. And I think, you know, what really matters to a business if they care about growth is, you know, engagement. You know, how many customers are actually interacting with the content that you've put out in different languages. Conversion, you know, how many customers are actually clicking after they've read your blog, or, you know, contacting you after they've read your brochure, for example, in French. So I think it's those kind of metrics that are really going to help localization teams show the impact they're having on business growth. But to get that kind of data, I think work needs to happen on both the, you know, corporate enterprise team side and on the technology provider side, because, you know, to get that sort of data, you need to be able to connect your localization platforms to your business systems that has that sort of data in it. So whether, you know, that's content management systems or marketing automation platforms or analytics tools, if they're not connected and talking, you're never going to be able to tell how content is performing, you know, get ideas on how to optimize it in real time and, you know, really make decisions based on data. So yeah, not only do you need to start as a business thinking about these sorts of things, but also, you know, technology providers need to start thinking about those types of integrations and workflows to enable it.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Thank you. Okay, I have one last question for you. Very general one again. Can you share with us the biggest difference when it comes to the different groups that you analyzed within the report? Like you mentioned LSPs, freelancers,
public sector,
and there's a last one, right?
There were freelance translators.
Okay. Do you mind sharing the biggest difference when it comes to the different groups that you analyzed and their different opinions, and or maybe like the biggest gap between two groups that you wouldn't have thought about before having the results?
Yeah, I really like this question, actually, because I think there are some quite big differences between the groups. And actually seeing those differences actually makes my job worthwhile in splitting them out. So, there definitely are some key points. So I'd say the first one probably isn't too surprising. You know, we said earlier that 46%, I think it was, of LSPs are seeing a decrease in the amount of work that's coming through. Well, freelance translators are actually in the same boat. If you think about it, it makes sense, because over 80% of our respondents actually said they worked for LSPs to some degree. You know, some of them just work for LSPs, some work directly with their own clients and sometimes with LSPs. So yeah, 80% in one way or another. Interacting and getting jobs from LSPs. So when LSPs feel the squeeze, naturally translators feel the squeeze as well. Another thing about translators was, you know, they have the highest concern about job displacement than any other than any other group. We're hearing it a lot. It makes sense, doesn't it? You know, AI primarily is being tried and experimented with at the moment to increase translation quality, a job which translators have always done. So yeah, I think it's a natural concern that, you know, a lot of us understand. And naturally, they're the most cautious of AI as well. Over one third, I think it was 34% of them, said they don't plan to invest in AI capabilities at all. That's significantly higher than any of the other groups that we saw. But yeah, on the flip side, LSPs, their data is very positive for AI. Mm-hmm. They're the most optimistic. 80% of them today use machine translation. That is higher. I think it's like 10% higher than it we saw adoption in the last wave. So they're only going up. And 40% of them are using large language models already. And that's in comparison to the 29% of, you know, corporate translation teams. And only 10% don't plan to invest in AI. I don't know why that makes me excited for them. There's so many opportunities. Clearly they're embracing AI as well. But the last thing I wanted to share really was about the public sector, because we've not spoken about them a lot today. Public sector translation teams, they actually said they have no dedicated localization budget. 23%, sorry, said they had no dedicated localization budget. They also said that budget was the biggest blocker to improving their workflows. So they have no budget. And naturally, if you've got no budget, how can you adopt new technology and, you know, change things? So I thought that was interesting. But more than that, they also don't seem to feel the same cost pressure as corporates. So when we looked at corporates, they also didn't have much budget. But a lot of what they were doing was to save money. So hearing that public sector respondents don't feel that same need or desire to change things because they are saving, they need to save money, was quite a striking difference for me. I think where they're more concerned is about, you know, ensuring that they meet quality expectations. So I think it shows the difference, doesn't it, between, you know, corporations that are driven to make money and grow, whereas a lot of public sector organizations have different goals and needs, and not all of them are tied to growth. So yeah, anyway, I think they're just a couple of differences. And I think the reality is every different group that we've analyzed, they've all got different realities, and that's really shaping how they respond, you know, to AI, to changes going on in the market.
Yeah, and what's important to them, really. That was super interesting. Thank you. So that was, I think, a really good summary of the Translation Technology Insights 2025. You can grab your free reports with the links that we will add on all channels, really, wherever you'd be watching this podcast. Nicole, thank you so much. That was a really good conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And just like one last word. Did it go okay?
It was really good. So thank you.
Amazing. Thank you for being there. Thank you for your time, for sharing all this with our listeners. And stay tuned for the next podcast episode, but most importantly, get your reports. Thank you, everyone. See you next time.